I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
And now, broadcasting live, it's time for the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Your place for motivation, inspiration, and edumacation. Each week, our host, Christopher Rausch, and his guest share what it takes for you to have an unstoppable attitude for your personal and professional success. And now, for your host, Mr. Kick-Ass himself, Christopher Rausch.
It's my life.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Bon Jovi, It's My Life, and I want to live while I'm alive. I hope you do too. You are here on the Kick-Ass Radio Show live from our studios here in sunny Southern California. It is a warm, warm day, so I hope wherever you're at, you're enjoying your day. And I want to thank you guys for being here live on the Kick-Ass Radio Show, where we broadcast every single Monday night at 6 p.m., and we bring you your place for your motivation, inspiration, and, of course, edumacation. I'm your host, Christopher Rausch, and I want to welcome you all to our show today. We've got an amazing guest coming up here in just a few minutes. And here on the Kick-Ass Radio Show, if you're a first-time listener, what we do here is we teach you how to have an unstoppable attitude for personal and professional success. What is an unstoppable attitude? That is an attitude that says, no matter what's going to happen in my life, no matter what obstacles are going to be thrown at me, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to pursue my dreams no matter what. No matter what people tell me, I'm going to have authentic self-confidence to kick ass and take names. As you heard in the introduction there, you know, I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum. I'm all out of bubblegum. So I just want to say that right there. And again, we're here every Monday night at 6 p.m., and what I do is I hand-select my guest who comes on here, and they share their story, and they share five tips that you can begin using immediately, and that's the key. You know, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, and I've listened to a lot of radio shows and a lot of content, and a lot of it's like, wow, you know, it's going to take me 3 weeks to get some sort of result. But really what I want to do here is that you're listening to this, and if you're not driving, I really encourage you guys to get something to write with because you want to take notes. If you're driving, you can listen to the show on podcast afterwards. But I just really want you guys to think about what me and my guests talk about and apply it in your life, because that's what kick-ass people do. You know, we have a habit of writing things down and saying we're going to get to it later. I just spent the weekend at a live event, and I took notes. And one of the things I do is wherever I'm taking notes is I create an action sheet right away. So I don't have to go through five pages of notes. I have an action sheet that I begin taking immediate action on, because if you learn something, you have a really narrow window of time to be able to take action on that. They say about 72 hours, you start forgetting stuff about it. So that's what I encourage you guys to do here. And like I said, you know, sometimes I get, well, Chris, I missed your radio show. Because we are here live every Monday, but in a couple hours, it goes to podcast. So if you miss it, all you have to do is go over to my website. It's ChristopherRausch.com, R-A-U-S-C-H. Go over there, hit the radio show tab, and halfway down, you'll see a link to iTunes. And there are 116 episodes there. We have been on for 116 shows. You take that and you multiply that by five tips, and I'm going to do the math so quick, it's 580 tips. 580 tips from some amazing guests that can increase your level of confidence professionally and personally. So again, go over there, ChristopherRausch.com. If you're anti-iTunes, because I've had some people say, Chris, I don't like iTunes, I don't use iTunes, all you have to do is you can go over to the kickassradioshow.com. My provider is Blog Talk Radio. You can listen to the shows there. You can subscribe so you don't miss any. So I really encourage you to do that. We've had some incredible guests here. And speaking of which, last week, we had Ashley Greer, and Ashley is basically the female version of me. So if you can imagine that, high intensity, you know, high energy, high passion, and no propensity for bullshit. So go back and listen to that show. Ashley and I talked about a lot of different stuff. We were actually feeding off each other, and so we were getting more hyped up, if you can imagine that, because I already talk fast, and I know you guys write to me, and you say, Chris, talk slower. But could you imagine if I talk slower? Doesn't that sound weird? It sounds like you just put me on like really slow. So I am trying to talk slower, but I just get so excited and so passionate about helping you guys just have a kick-ass life. I just really, really do. It fires me up. I could be sick as a dog. I could have a horrible day, but as soon as I turn this microphone on or as soon as I go on stage, there's something that just is ignited in my soul that just wants to bring you guys great content. And we talked about, you know, getting rid of excuses. As you guys know, I'm nicknamed the No Excuse Coach. So we just talked about that. We talked about not letting your struggles and your past define your future, which is something I'm passionate about. As a coach, you know, a lot of stuff hangs us up from our childhood and from our younger years. And it's like, oh, you know, every time I tried that, I failed. And we're going to be talking about that on our show today. So I really encourage you to go back and listen to last week's show, Ashley Greer. You'll really like it. For those of you guys who are first-time listeners, this show is a little edgier, so just make sure you don't have children under the age of maybe 10. It depends. I've got parents that cuss right in front of their kids, and they're like, well, they're going to learn the word someday. So this is an adult-rated show, so I just want to let you guys know about that. Anyways, my guest tonight is Mark Mowinney, and I've had the pleasure of being on Mark's podcast. Mark is the creator of the Natural Born Coaches podcast. I wasn't familiar with it before I was invited on, but I have to tell you, I listen to it all the time. He does a daily podcast, and he's on a mission to help coaches build stronger businesses. He's a lifelong entrepreneur, and he achieves this through his daily podcast and also with his programs that he has for coaches. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about his program, Seize Your Niche. It depends. If you're in California, you say niche, and if you're in the other parts of the world, you say niche. So please give us a warm welcome for our guest tonight, Mark Mowinney. Mark, are you with us tonight?
Hey, Chris, I'm here.
You are here. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. I'll give you a word of warning. It's 10 p.m. In my part of the world here in the East Coast of Canada, so I should have had some Red Bull or something, but I'm fired up. I'm ready to go.
Oh, you can't talk to me and not be fired up, brother. This is going to be an exciting hour. I just got fresh off the freeway and came home and had to deal with, as I was telling you offline, some technical challenges. So I hope you guys out there listening in Radio Land can hear us, because my provider once again has alerted me to some sort of error that's happened, but I don't see any problems with it, and it seems like we're broadcasting. So, Mark, I gave you the textbook introduction, or I gave our listeners the textbook introduction, but what I'd like for you to do is, just in your own words, tell us who Mark Mowinney is and what your path in life has been and what brings you here today and what makes you a kick-ass guy.
Well, it's funny you mentioned in the beginning about not letting your past define you, because I have the typical ups and downs, I guess, of any entrepreneur has had. I'm turning 37 later this month, and really been in business one way or another since I was 21 years old. I was in real estate throughout my 20s and kept really busy with that. I had a cell phone to my ear 24/7, running around, had a lot of fun, build a business. And I built up a company of about 100 people over the years through the 20s, and everything was going great. You know, revenues were doubling every year. And I thought, wow, this whole success thing's pretty darn easy, you know. I'll have a private island by the time I'm 40, and I'm all set. And then, like so many other people in real estate in North America and around the world, I had a rude awakening about 5 or 6 years ago when everything came crashing down. And I've had ups and downs since then, but make a long story short, pivoted away from real estate. I was helped along my journey by several coaches and mentors who helped me back on my feet. And to get past that lesson, I guess, learn from it and get into coaching. So I've been coaching now for a couple of years, and that's my passion is coaching. But specifically, I've niched down to help other coaches. So when I first started coaching, it was very broad focus or lack of focus. I guess I said I'll work with any entrepreneur, and as time's gone on over the years, I've said, okay, I'm going to work specifically with other coaches and help them build their business. And that's where we're at today. It led to the podcast and other cool things that have been happening. So there's a really quick Coles Notes version of who Mark Mowinney is.
Wow. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that that extra information. And for those of you guys just joining us, we're live on the Kick-Ass Radio Show. We're talking with our guest tonight, Mark Mowinney. If you'd like to call in and either ask myself or Mark a question from a life coach standpoint or from an entrepreneurial standpoint, a marketing standpoint, an attitude standpoint, you're certainly welcome. We are live. The number is 646-378-1582. Again, that is 646-378-1582. 888-378-1582. I'll give that number out again in case you don't have pen and paper in front of you. So, Mark, you talk about, you know, going through some struggles in your life. What, you know, and you sought out some experts. What did those experts help you understand about the situation you were going through, and what did it, how did it propel you to start over and do something totally different than what you were doing?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say that without throwing out a couple cliches, so I'll try not to, but, you know, there's what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger is one of them. I was helped back, I guess, on my feet by a mentor who's become, I'd say, a friend, too. And what he explained to me back then is, hey, look, this is something happens to every entrepreneur. He'd been through a couple business closures, and he had suffered his critics and different obstacles, and he's back on his feet. He's doing very well. And I think anyone going through a business closure, it seems like you're the only person in the world that's ever gone through that. And you tend to sort of pull yourself in a little bit. You don't want to put yourself out there anymore. And you think somehow makes you a bad person. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for entrepreneurs who go for it, you know, even if they don't make it. I have more respect for somebody that's gone out there and tried to make it and tried to build something. And if it didn't work out, they can try again, as opposed to people that sort of sit back and throw stones. And it's easy to be a critic if you're not trying anything, but usually critics aren't too happy with how their lives are going. So it's a lot like that Teddy Roosevelt speech, you know, the man in the arena. And if anyone gets a chance to read that, that's an awesome speech. I'm sure you've seen it or read it. And I really agree with that. I have a lot of respect for the entrepreneur that goes out there and tries to make it work. And that's my thoughts on it.
So what do you think are some of the key ingredients for being a successful entrepreneur?
Oh, boys, there's a lot. I mean, one thing is obviously persistence. You have to. Entrepreneurship can really mess with your head. You know, you're on a high one minute, everything's going great, you're on top of the world, and then something happens to throw you off course, and, you know, you can hit some dark places. So it's a real roller coaster ride, you know. I'm reading Darren Hardy's most recent book now, which equates entrepreneurship to a roller coaster ride. And I love Darren Hardy. I love Success Magazine. And I agree totally with that, the entrepreneurial roller coaster. So you have to be able to ride through those ups and downs and, I guess, sort of step back and not think that it's the end of the world if something's, not going the way that you want it to go. I think consistency is a huge, huge trait that entrepreneurs have to have. They have to find out what works, and then they have to be consistent and do it constantly. And that's not always the sexiest thing to do. Like with my podcast, I'm doing things that aren't the most fun in the world. You know what it's like doing your show and with your coaching and stuff, but you just do it because it has to be done. And there's something to be said for that. So even if I'm last year, I got hit with a really fluke flu at one point, and I was set to interview a coach in your neck of the woods in California, Jason Womack, who I have a lot of respect for. I'd been following him on Twitter and social media for years, and I got hit with this really weird stomach bug. And I was, you know, I had kind of like the man cold when you're on the couch with the chicken noodle soup and you've got your significant other kind of feeding in, you know. And but I still got off to record that interview because I wanted to do it. I committed to it. And Jason is someone I respect a lot, and I did it. So it wasn't like I was going over to Iraq to fight in the war or anything. I just had to get off the couch and go record an interview. But I think there's a lot of people out there that would cancel an interview in that case and not do it. And you have to kind of grin and bear sometimes to do that. So those are a few things I think are big for entrepreneurs. I mean, positive thinking, a whole sort of things that you hear all the time that I know people kind of say, oh, geez, there's that positive thinking mumbo jumbo, but it's so true for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. It's all in your mind. Very important that you have the right frame of mind.
Yeah, it's true. And what's funny, I can't remember if I told you this or not, but when you said, you know, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger, you know, I have a tattoo of that in my forearm, right?
I did not know that. No,
yeah,
I thought
actually,
you had Betty Boop or something.
That's on my butt. I got Betty Boop on my butt. No, actually, last September, I've always said that I have a few sayings that I say. One of them is that every day is a new day, and what doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And I was, you know, I'm like anybody else. I'm very transparent. I think you've got to know me about that. Is when I'm having a bad day, I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to share with the world that Mr. Motivational Speaker, Mr. Master Motivator, whatever, is having a bad day. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to write that down. I'm just going to remind myself. I have a, you know, all my tattoos mean something. And so I wrote, "What doesn't kill me only makes me stronger" on my forearm. And my wife was a little bit, you know, hesitant about it. She's like, "Well, you know, do you sure you want it, you know, for business and everything?" And I said, "You know what? I don't care. I just, every once in a while, I need a reminder." And it's been great because people ask me about it and they're like, "Well, what is that? You know, what's that for?" And it's like, you know, and then we get into this big, you know, conversation and people ask me what I do and they're like, "Well, that makes sense." Well, my question for you, Mark, in thinking about this, you know, you said you're in real estate and, you know, everything was going great. What did your family and friends say to you when you said, "Hey, I'm going to do this podcasting thing. I'm going to go and I'm going to be this, I'm going to do the startup and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to interview with these other coaches"? What kind of feedback did you get from your friends and family?
Pretty much, "What's a podcast?" I got some more raised eyebrows when I got into coaching, which happened before that, because coaching in my part of the world, it's not, I mean, people know what coaching is, but it's probably not the same as, say, California or some bigger markets. So a lot of people here would probably think coaching is I was going to go, you know, with a clipboard and a whistle and go courtside at a basketball game or, you know, for football or something, because they equate it with the athletic coaching. And so the coaching industry here is getting better. I mean, there's getting better representation and people getting into it, but it's still not known as much by people on the street that would know what a coach does. So the podcast wasn't too bad. It was more when I jumped into coaching a ways before that, where some people thought, "Oh, okay, well, what the heck's coaching?" You know, because something like real estate is something people know what that is. Or if you're in something like insurance, mortgages, anything that people can get their heads wrapped around. But when you look at something like that, a lot of people just give you a strange look and think, you know, do people actually make a living that way? And that's what I love about coaching is that I don't have really a lot of local business. So 99% of my clients are from away. I have a handful of clients here in my home province, but I don't focus on the local market. I'm not out doing any advertising locally and not doing trade shows here or anything to, you know, anything comes to me is more referral or by accident. All my clients are, for the most part, in the United States, and I've got a few in the UK, Australia, and I have one in Africa. So they're all over the world, and that's the way I like it. It's really fun to build a business globally.
Well, that's cool. And the question I have for you, Mark, is I have a couple of people that are listening tonight who are intrigued about life coaching. One of them doesn't necessarily want to become a coach, but is fascinated with the fact of how do you help people, you know, get through these experiences. And you and I talked about this before, but, you know, one of the questions I get is, okay, who are you certified by? And I just look at them and I say, I'm certified by the School of Hard Knocks and the College of Adversity. And, you know, some people are like, "Oh, well, I'm with Certified Coaches Federation and all this." What's your take, you know, for our listeners out there? Because I come across people who are super passionate. They've got a lot of experience and they want to help people, but they think they have to be certified. And I tell them, no, you just get out there and you just start helping people. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I should mention I'm not a life coach per se, but where I work with coaches, I've worked with life coaches to help them build their business. When it comes to certification, I'd never say to somebody, don't get certified. There's some great certifications out there, some great training, but I think that too many coaches put too much stock in it, and they basically delay launching their business because they have to go for 6 months, 12 months, or so on to get whatever they need for the certification. So I would never say to a coach, don't get certified or don't grow. For me, I mean, I'm not certified and I'm very open about it. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not growing and doing any professional development. I'm constantly taking courses and I'm growing and investing back into myself and my business. Just I'm doing it that way. I didn't hold things back when I became a coach. I said, you know what, I'm just jumping in and I'm just going to do it. So I think that there's some great certifications out there, and if you want to take them, great. You know, it's certainly not, it's going to help your coaching, but don't hold back on the launch of your business just because of that, because it's tough enough to launch a business without coming up with extra roadblocks that you have to get around. And I think that too many people because of fear. They procrastinate, they hold things off, and that's not the best way to do it either. I'm a big fan of just, you want to do something, you jump out there, you do it, you make it happen.
Right. No, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, we get caught up. I'm a self-proclaimed perfectionist. And I really, it's funny because I don't think of myself as being a perfectionist, but if I sit back and I look at the things I've started and the things that I haven't finished, I drill down and it's like, because it's not perfect, because I think I need something else for it. So I think that's really, really important. And one of the things I ask Mark in when I do this show, depending on the guests, is I ask people what their why is. So what's your why in life? What is the real big why that you're doing Natural Born Coaches and why you're coaching other coaches? What's the big why for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. There's two parts of my why. My first thing I would say is I went through all the struggles of getting a coaching business off the ground, and I went through banging my head against the wall and working 70, 80, 90 hours a week and not getting traction and thinking, oh my gosh, like it's just so frustrating. So going forward, I don't want newer coaches to go through that same experience, because I think coaches can do a lot of good in the world and they can impact a lot of lives, but they have to get their business rolling to be able to do that. I don't want them to quit before they get going. So that's a big why, is to make sure that I can impact a lot more lives by helping coaches get their business going, because each of those coaches could be impacting hundreds of lives or thousands of lives and multiplies very quickly. The other part of the why for me is my son. You know, I have a son who turns 7 later this month, and he's been the driving force through all my ups and downs, and the big motivator for me. So really there's two parts there that I want to help other coaches, but then on a more personal level, there's the motivation that comes from my little guy as well.
Yeah, no, that's huge. That's huge. I mean, I think it's important. The reason why I ask that question sometimes is I think my listeners out there struggle with that, and they'll call me or they'll email me, and they're like, you know, Chris, I just don't know what my why is, and trying to get them to connect to it. And once I get them to connect to it, it's amazing, because then their eyes just like open up. Like, oh my God, now I get it. Now I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Now I know that, you know, in helping them have that unstoppable attitude, it's just, I love seeing people know that. So I think it's important when I talk to you guys as guests that sharing that gives people that enlightenment. It's like, you know, somebody came to me and they said they wanted to lose weight. And I said, why? And they said, well, because I'm overweight. And I said, but why do you want to lose weight? Well, you know, I want to look better. But why do you want to lose weight? And, you know, we would get down to, like, the nitty-gritty. I don't want to end up old and alone later on in life, so I want to attract a mate, or I want to stay alive so I can see my kid graduate high school and get married. You know, so just finding those big whys is just a gas for me.
Yeah, and just to sort of expand on it, I don't want to make it sound like every coach has to be like Mother Teresa or the, you know, Gandhi or something when it comes to their why. A big problem I think a lot of coaches have is that they're afraid to admit that they want to make money, you know, and be successful that way. And I work with clients, my coaching coaches that are clients, to basically get them around away from that. You know, there's nothing wrong with being compensated for what you're bringing. If you're impacting a life and you're doing all this good, then you deserve to be paid fairly. So I don't think that coaches should be, you know, poor and that suddenly makes them any, you know, it makes them any less of a coach if they admit that they want to be financially successful from it. I think that's an important part of any coaching business, that you have to have that financial success. And I have a saying, I say you can't coach on an empty stomach. So if you're trying to coach and you're worried about bills being paid and stuff, then you're not going to be as good of a coach as you possibly could, because you're going to be distracted. So that's an important part of the equation. I tell coaches, don't be afraid to admit that, yeah, you want to make money from it. You're in business. You got to make a profit.
It's true. It's true, Mark. I actually had that problem before. I think I may have shared on your show that I did pay it forward coaching for a while, because I wanted to get into it and I loved doing it. And I wanted to do it for people who couldn't necessarily afford coaching. So I would just, you know, sit there and coach them, and then they had to go do three nice things for somebody else or for another organization and come back and tell me about it. And then usually the reward was that they would come back and say, oh my God, you know, I went and sang for an old folks home, or I went and passed out stuffed animals for children in a cancer ward. And that became like the big aha for them. It was like, you know, wow, my life isn't that bad and I've got so many opportunities. And, but you know, getting to the coaching thing, in your experience, and after, you know, interviewing so many coaches, I think you just celebrated your 200th episode, right?
I did. Yep. Last Thursday we had John Lee Dumas, Entrepreneur on Fire, came on. So yeah, big 200.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
In interviewing these people, what have you found? Because I know I've got some coaches listening that told me they were really intrigued about this. I don't know how much information you can give us, but what's a good way for coaches to price their services? Because I do run across that. I had my personal experience with that. I had a struggle with it, but I had a friend of mine that was a very successful coach, and she helped me with it. But what's your opinion on that? If people are out there listening, thinking, you know, do I charge $50 an hour? Do I do a 5-month program? Do I do a 1-month program? What's your experience since you've talked to so many coaches?
Yeah, personally, I'm not a big fan of going with the hourly pricing model. I've had clients that have been had done it before they connected with me, and I find that's a tough way to make a go of it. And not that people aren't, but the problem with the hourly model is, let's say you're charging, I don't know, you threw, you know, $50 out there as an example, an hour, which I think is low, very low for a coach. But if you're charging $50 an hour, and let's say your client's making $15 an hour, then they're looking at it and they're saying, well, wait a minute, is Chris really worth over three times what I'm being paid per hour? I work my butt off at my job. He's not worth three times. Or if you're charging $100, he's not worth six or seven times what I'm working. He's not working seven times as hard as me. So they sort of boil it down into those terms rather than the results you're getting them in their lives. So with my programs, I'm charging, I go at program based, you know, like I've got a 6-week program and I'm charging what I think is reasonable. Some people may look at it and say, well, that's high if it's $2,000 in that case. But I'm looking at the results. You know what? It's $2,000, but you're going to turn that into how much with your business? You know, who knows how much you're going to turn it into. So I recommend the coaches don't go on the hourly model. I just think that that's another hurdle that you have to get the client over. You have to sell them on the concept of coaching, but then you have to fight with them. There's a little bit of resentment coming from the client, I think, in a lot of cases in that. So I, at the very least, would go at a monthly amount, but I wouldn't focus so much on that dollar figure. I would let them know that, hey, look, this is the impact it's going to have on you. Mm-hmm. Let's find a way to get a good return. If it's five times what you're investing in your coaching or more than that, let's focus on this as an investment, not as a cost, which, you know, is floating through the mind of a potential client. They're saying, oh, geez, should I be paying Chris X amount? I could be putting that towards a vacation fund or the new roof or the car repairs or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I'm glad you phrased it that way, Mark, because one of the things I've helped people do is okay, what's the value? What is the end result that you're going to get that person to? And what's the value to them? Because they may say, you know, I've had situations where I've done a 6-month program for $1,000. And they're like, oh, my God, $1,000, you know, that's so much money, Chris, and blah. It's like, okay, well, if you could do – I'll ask them, you know, if fear wasn't a factor, what would you do? Well, I would do this, this, and this. It's like, okay, so how much would you pay not to be fearful of this, this, and this? Like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. You know, here's the value that you bring. And it's so true, because I had the same idea only about 5 years ago. It was like, okay, that's expensive, and that's an expense. But if you turn it around and you say, okay, that's an investment, and if I can't take that investment of X, I mean, I joined a mastermind, and it was a lot of money, and I said, if I can't take that experience and those people that are going to be helping me and make $1 more than my investment, then I probably shouldn't be doing what it is that I think I should be doing. And when I changed that psychology around in my brain, amazing things started happening. It was like, yeah, it did cost me money. Yeah, I did put it on my credit card. But boy, the success that came out of that investment was, you know, 10 times, you know, the investment. So I think that's important that people get that.
Yeah, and it's not doing any favors for not just yourself, but for the client either, if you're charging low rates just to try to fill up your open spots. Because I'm a believer that for a client, the coaching should hurt a little bit to pay it. So if the coach is charging peanuts and the client pulls out of his pocket and pays it, well, you know what? He's not taking it as he or she's not taking it as serious as they would be if they were paying, higher amount, you know, that's out there. So they're not going to be taking it serious and they're not going to pour as much into it. Now, if they're paying, let's say, you know, instead of $50 or $100, an insanely low amount per month, if they're paying $1,000 or $2,000, then you better believe that they're going to pour a lot into it, because if they don't, they're going to think, oh my God, I just, you know, threw away that $2,000. So it's a much better experience because the client's more invested. But whatever you charge a coach, I would venture to guess that a large percentage of coaches are charging way too little, and they could bump those prices up quite a bit. I had a program that I bumped up earlier this year that was $497. It was a podcast coaching program that I said, you know what, I'm going to bump up to $997. There's a lot in there. It's doing good. I know I can do it. It's not more difficult to sell it. It's all in your head, you know, and I'm still selling it, and I don't have a problem selling it. And it doubled in price, but I didn't freak myself out and think, oh my gosh, I'm doubling the price and is it worth it and all that. So you have to have that belief in yourself, even if you have to practice it in front of the mirror, whatever you have to do, shout it out that you're worth every penny. You better believe it, because if you don't believe it 100%, then the client's going to pick up on that.
Yep. No, that's so true. I'm glad you mentioned that, because it is true. I mean, sometimes we think, oh, who's going to pay me for this? But if you have demonstrated experience and you're able to get people from whatever position they're at in their life to wherever they need to be, depending on whatever kind of coaching it is or whatever kind of service it is, you know, that's important. And I had that. I mean, I'm just true transparency. I had that same problem. It was like, all right, who's going to pay? But then I sat back and I went, I'm pretty freaking results oriented. I get people to take action. I get people to do that. And there should be some skin in the game, like you said, when there isn't. When I was doing the pay it forward coaching, as much as I like doing it, people would be, they wouldn't be invested. They'd be like, oh yeah, like this. And then when I started saying, you know what, it's $2,500 to work with me for a month, then all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, you know, they would, then they had skin in the game. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. Every coach has struggled with it. They may not admit it. I'm guessing Tony Robbins struggled with it, you know, when he was getting his start and he was setting up projectors for Jim Rohn and, you know, or whatever he was doing. You may not know it now, but I think every coach has struggled with pricing. That's just human nature, and you have to get through it, because if you're not going to get past it, then there's no sense being a coach. If you don't believe that you're worth it, then why should somebody hire you if you don't even have the belief?
Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest things. I have a lot of friends that are coaches, and it's so true. But you are here, of course, on the Kick-Ass Radio Show, and like I said in the introduction, you're here to share 5 kick-ass tips with our listeners, and you've already shared a bunch. So go ahead and give us kick-ass tip number 1, my friend.
Well, you know what? Again, you're all about transparency, and I am too. I had to turn my laptop back on and went into sleep mode. So I was trying to remember what the top tip was. Now, number 1 tip was that I have follow. I mentioned this already. Follow Nike's advice and just do it. You know, and so many people don't do it. They procrastinate. They want to do more research. They want to think about it. The time's not right. You know, you're never going to have the exact perfect time to do something. Like, it's never going to be the stars completely aligned, 100% ready to go. It's always going to be a little bit messy. So you really just have to jump in and do it. You know, when I became a coach, it was not good timing at all for me. And I just, you know, jumped in and things have aligned and worked out. So just get out there and do it. Don't have that paralysis by analysis.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's true. And so, I mean, we talked about procrastination, and one of my big things is I help people overcome procrastination and fear and just get developed and get real self-confidence. But in all your experience in talking to these coaches, why do you think people procrastinate? Why do you think people live in that fear? I mean, I have obviously my own opinions, but I'd be interested to hear what you have to say, because it's such a huge topic with people. Like, they stop and they don't do anything, and they freeze.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun to think about potentially failing. You know, who would be excited about that? So most people will stay back rather than taking a risk and going out there and getting hit back and falling down. You know, that's just natural. So I've always said that people would say, you know what, the safe 9-to-5 job paying $40,000 a year, most people would stay in that as opposed to doing an opportunity, let's say like coaching, where they have a pretty good chance of making 6 figures if they work hard and they're good at it. They'll take the sure 40, even though it's obviously much less, and they're probably having a lot less fun than they would have if they were doing something like coaching, if they enjoy doing coaching or any business. And that's just, you know what, that's human nature. I think that's probably going to be that way for the rest of time. It's probably been that way since the cavemen. And, you know, I guess that's just life.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I think personally it comes from the conditioning that we've had. I love talking about the conditioning process that we go through when we're kids and throughout the rest of our lives. And my next question to you, Mark, is how important is it for us to have the right people around us to get over that procrastination and get over that fear?
Oh, it's huge. If you're around, what's that saying? You know, you're going to be like the five people you spend most of your time with. And I think that's true. But if you're around people who are constantly frightened and afraid to take risks, or they're just talking negatively, you can't do it, Chris, don't even bother trying, you know, forget it, you'll never be able to do it. I mean, that's really hard to get away from that if you're constantly around them. So I've made an effort, especially the last few years, to make sure that the people I surround myself with are very positive people. And that's what I love about this podcast, is it's allowed me to connect with people who are outside my geographical area, and people that are big thinkers and people that are doing huge things. I mean, I mentioned John Lee Dumas before he was on the show a couple days ago. This isn't, you know, revealing any state secrets for him, because he releases this publicly. His business model, he just, I believe his gross revenues are $525,000, last month, which, you know, is crazy. A podcaster
last month?
Over half. Last month, he had about 90 sets. He publicizes a monthly income statement, and monthly income and expenses. He and his partner Kate are very open about it. And I think they had expenses of $97,000, $98,000 to do it. So they're still clearing over $400,000. I wouldn't see that locally and connect with people like that here. That would just be out of the realm of people's imagination in my part of the world. But by connecting with someone like John, who's he's from my part of the world originally. He was in Portland, Maine for a while, but he's in San Diego. Well, there's a lot bigger thinkers out there, you know, California, New York, across the pond. There's some cool people in the UK, all over, and they're people I wouldn't have connected with if I wasn't in this coaching world. And that's why I think it's very important that you're really, really putting people through the ringer, deciding if you want them to be into your small sphere, your circle, because if they're negative people, or if they're small thinkers, or they're hauling you down, you got to get rid of them.
Yep. It's so true, Mark. And I had somebody asking me the other day. They hit me up on Facebook and they said, "Hey, can I ask you some advice?" And I'm like, "Sure, no problem." And they said, "You know, you talk a lot about having the right people around you. You know, Stephen Covey, you're like the five people you're around the most." And they said, "What if it's your family that's dragging you down?" And I was pretty, and I think Ashley and I were talking about this last week, because she said openly, she goes, "I don't talk to one of my parents anymore because they thought she was cracked, you know, going out and being a speaker and being a coach." And for you guys listening, if you didn't listen to that show last week or hear me before, you know, that is true. You know, if you're around toxic people, like, I don't even talk to my sister anymore because she's such a toxic person. She's like, "Oh, that's stupid, and that's stupid, and that's me, and that's me." You know, you got to get around the right kind of people. And that's tough for a lot of people, but it's, you know, it's so true, because they will nag on you and say, "Oh, that's a stupid idea." And then you live your life, and then one day you wake up and you have all these regrets that you didn't follow your dreams. And what I tell people is that, you know, from my time when my mom was really sick, I was talking to people in nursing homes and convalescent hospitals, and I would say, you know, if you had to do this all over again, because I'm just a fan of talking to people and learning from them, if you had to do this whole journey all over again, how would you do it differently? What would you do differently? And the number one thing that everybody would say is, like, "I wish I would have lived the life I wanted to live and not lived the life I was supposed to live or told to live." And that was huge for me, Mark. It was like this light bulb. And that's when I really started taking, you know, a lot of this stuff seriously. It's like, you know what? I'm not getting any younger, and I don't want to end up at the end of the road going, "Well, I worked a 9-to-5 job every day and I played it safe, and, you know, and I didn't go after my dreams." And then it was just recently, I saw a thing on Facebook that said, you know, a hospice nurse wrote a book and said, you know, "Here's what I've learned as being a hospice nurse." And that was the same exact thing, that I lived the life that I was told to live. And, you know, it's usually about the toxic people around us trying to keep us down, because it makes them feel inferior if you're succeeding and they're not, and they want to, you know, misery loves company and all that crap.
Yeah, and I don't want to give the impression that everyone who's working a 9-to-5 job is negative and a cancer. You know, like there's people I know that are very happy working their 9-to-5 job, and they've got really cool interests that they do afterwards, and they're really interesting people. So I don't want to give the impression that, oh, now you got to be an entrepreneur, or your life's been wasted, and you're going to regret it. I mean, it's different yeah. strokes for different folks, right? But yeah, so I mean, me, I'm an entrepreneur, but there's other people that fit well in that. If you're enjoying whatever you're doing, then Bob Dylan has a great quote, and I'm paraphrasing here. I know it's not exactly the same, but he basically said success is being able to get up in the morning, go to bed at night. You've done everything you want to do in between. And I'm a big believer in that. So yeah, there's the wise prophet, Bob Dylan, that said that. So it's whatever makes you happy, really. If you're whatever you're happy doing, forget everybody else, just block them out and do what makes you happy.
Yep. It's so true. We could spend the whole night just on that tip. So give us kick-ass tip number two, Mark.
Well, it goes to niching, which we talked about that earlier. Niche, baby, niche. Kind of like drill, baby, drill. That's Sarah Palin, or you know, different people saying that. Niche, baby, niche. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of niching because my business, I didn't get that traction until I niched down. And a lot of people have the philosophy that you have to keep as wide of a net as possible cast out there just to take on every potential client. And you don't want to leave anyone off the table. And the result is that you end up getting no clients or very few clients. And what I try to get the coaches' heads wrapped around that I work with is that you're going to be a lot better off going with a narrow, more tightly controlled niche share, and you're going to be able to get a lot better traction because you don't have as much competition. I mean, you know what the coaching industry is like. You turn around, you trip over a coach.
Yep.
You know, I just bumped into one now as we're doing this interview. I stepped over one here on my floor. No, it's not that bad. But there's coaches every, yeah, open up a closet and you have 10 coaches falling out. Niching down will set you aside. And there's been some really neat ones on the podcast. I've had some neat clients who've chosen some niches that have been really unique. I mean, I won't get into all of them. One really cool one, just to give an example, Ryan Willoughby was a guest on the podcast, and he was an executive coach. And you know how many executive coaches are out there, especially in New York and those places. And he wasn't getting the kind of traction that he wanted, and he decided to flip it around, and he decided he was going to work with the wives of successful executives, the ones
Ooh.
That were kind of in the shadows for years while their husband
yeah.
was climbing the corporate ladder. And he was going to work specifically with them to get them kind of pursuing their dreams, which had been on the back burner for years. And he was telling me he has no competition. Like, how many times have you heard a coach that's done that compared to the thousands, thousands, and thousands of executive coaches out there? So you have to be a little creative with it, but there's some really cool niches that you can do well with.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And my friend Larry Broughton told me one time when I started doing the kick-ass thing and doing this crazy stuff and developing my niche. I'll try to say niche for the rest of the show. It'll be a challenge. He said, you know, a niche will get you rich. And it was like,
yeah.
it kind of hit me for a second. It was like, you know, because you're so true, you know, you cast a wide net, you get a few fish, you cast a small net, you get the quality fish. And that's been being authentic, transparent, that's been a struggle for me because I always want to help all sorts of people. And I've been on this journey over the last couple of years trying to determine what my niche is. Because I sit there and I go back, I'm like, okay, well, Tony Robbins has, you know, 5,000 people show up in an auditorium. They're all over the board that he caters to. But again, you know, having that narrow market also helps you because people could go, okay, Christopher's the expert for what? Christopher's the expert for what? Who does he deal with? And obviously the kick-ass brand, people, I'm not for everybody. And people go, you know, I want to talk to that guy. That guy is like, you know, he's just like me or whatever. But what exercises, in your experience, should people, you know, try to figure out what their niche is?
Well, one I use with a lot of clients is called mind mapping, and I'm sure you've done it and a number of your listeners have. There's some
Love
cool
it.
Online tools now. So you can go old school with pen and paper, or you can use an online tool like MindMeister. MindMap, M-U-P, is one of them. MindMap's basically a way to put pen to paper, or virtually put pen to paper, and it's a way to think out loud and create something visually. You know, you start with a word and then it branches off a couple different directions and you branch it off further and you come up with things that you may not have come up with had you not done that. So I do mind mapping with all my clients. You know, with the program I have, some Seize Your Niche, and that's what we do with the coaches in there. And we come up with things we would have never thought of. So that's probably the best exercise. But the other thing I'd recommend, I use a gut test, which isn't terribly scientific, but I ask, okay, if I had to get, I have to get out of bed every morning, who do I want to work with? You know, who am I going to be pumped up to go work with and hop out of bed? And when I looked at myself, I had a couple clients who were coaches back before I niched down, compared to the others. And when I compared them to, say, the bricks and mortar business owners and others, they were the ones I was excited to work with. I looked forward to those calls most. And I said, okay, I'm going with my gut on it. So it sounds a little bit kind of woo-woo, like, you know, Star Wars, like use the Force type stuff. But you do have to use Obi-Wan saying use the Force. So, you know, if it worked for Luke blowing up the Death Star, he, you know, can work for me. But, yeah, you got to use your gut. And that's how I those two things are how I arrived at my niche and how most of my clients arrive at their niches.
It's true. And I love mind maps. I actually use FreeMind and I use another one. Love doing I have it on my iPad. It's such a great brainstorming tool when you just, especially when you just green light yourself. It's like you put coaching in the center bubble and you just start firing off and you just you wind up coming up with this story, this whole thing. You're like, wow, I didn't realize that was going to come out of this, and they just build on each other. So yeah, I have so many mind maps. It's ridiculous. I actually just organized them recently because I have some for coaching, I have some for speaking, I have some for my book. I mean, I probably have 200 or more mind maps just on my computer alone. So it's pretty crazy. Give us kick-ass tip number 3, my friend.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help. So I think a lot of people are afraid to seem like they're weak or vulnerable. They don't want to ask for advice. And one thing that I haven't been afraid of is ask for advice. So for example, you're a member of a Facebook group I have for past guests of Bachelor Board Coaches. And there's 200 or so past guests in that closed group. And I don't hesitate to ask for advice because there's well over 1,000 years of coaching experience, probably a couple thousand that are in there. And I'd be crazy not to pick the brains of people in there and get their advice. So many people try to make it seem like they've got all the answers. They don't want anyone to know that they need help with anything. And that holds them back, you know, and that's a shame. So, yeah, definitely don't be afraid to ask for help.
I'm so glad when I saw that tip on your document that you sent me back, I thought it was so awesome because I think people have gotten better for the most part, but you know, I tell people it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. It's a sign of stupidity not to, you know, it's like, there's so many resources out there and there's so many people out there. It's like, well, I don't want to ask them, you know, it's like there are people, I mean, I've asked people, huge people, and I'm like, so what did it take to get into speaking? And they ramble off for like an hour and a half, free information because people love to talk about themselves. It's such a fast track to get to where you need to go. I mean, getting education and, you know, online education and everything, but I was just at an event this weekend, and like I said before, I'm a fan of asking people questions and what did you do and what experiences did you have and what were some of the setbacks you had and how'd you get over them? What advice would you give to, you know, I'm just a constant, you know, I don't care. I'm like, I'll be the first one to raise my hand. I don't have all the answers. And it's so amazing how fast you can get to where you need to go when you just ask somebody, hey, you know what, can you sit down with me for an afternoon? You know, I'll buy you lunch. I'll buy you coffee. Can you help me out with this? People are out there that love to help, right?
Yeah. And I was always the type, before the days of GPS and apps and things like that, if I was driving somewhere on vacation, you know what the typical, what they say about guys and men are afraid to ask for directions, right? But I was always the type, I would stop and ask for directions because I thought, I really don't want to drive around for an hour or two in the wrong direction and then lose that time and lose that gas and all the headache and the frustration. So I'd always stop and ask for help. Now, some guys would try to figure it out themselves and they would waste a whole day driving around. I thought that's kind of silly. So, yeah, you got to be able to ask for help.
Yeah, it's definitely for you guys out there listening, you know, it's amazing what can happen when you do that. And there's some vulnerability in there and there's like, oh, you know, is this person going to think I'm an idiot? But I'd rather have somebody think that, you know, oh, wow, I thought this guy had all the answers, but I'd rather have them think that for a second and then give me the answers and then to sit there and, you know, oh, yeah, I've got it all figured out when inside I'm going, God, I just want to wish, you know, what they would do. But in the same respect, I've had to give people some, I've had people go, oh my God, I just talked to so-and-so and they told me to do this, this and that. And they think because that person has, you know, demonstrated experience that just because that person said to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do it. You have to find out what works for you in those times, because I've had people go off and I'm like, why did you do that? And they're like, well, so-and-so said that's what I should do. I'm like, how did that make you feel? Well, I thought it was kind of weird, but I'm doing it because they said to. And I mean, I have my experience with Les Brown, the famous motivational speaker. I spent 3 days with the guy, and he was adamant. He's like, Chris, quit doing the kick-ass thing. Quit wearing the bandana. You know, put a suit and tie on. I could put you on stages. You know, you can make a lot of money. And Les Brown is like next to Tony Robbins for me in what I've achieved in my life because of what they said. And just because Les Brown was sitting, I mean, anybody, most people are like, oh my God, you didn't take Les Brown's advice. It's like, no, it does, it's not for me. You know, I just want to be me. So yeah. I warn you guys out there listening, you know, some people, you got to do what's the best for you. But that's the cool thing about getting advice. It's like, okay, that works for me or that doesn't work for me. I mean, who are some of your big mentors in your life, Mark?
Well, I mean, it's funny, a lot of my mentors have been those personal development gurus, which we've talked about. I mean, I've been a big fan of Tony Robbins. His first book I ever read in that self-help genre of personal development was Think and Grow Rich. So Napoleon Hill, although he's been dead for years, I would consider a mentor because I read that book and I have read it so many times since then. So that book really got me rolling and into interest in personal development, you know, way back grade in high school when I first read it. So, you know, when it comes to mentors, a lot of mine have been through the books and the tapes way back when, and then CDs and now audios, and people I've never met, but I feel definitely an affinity to them when I'm reading them because they've been so important in my life. And, you know, other than that, I mean, there's others. My grandfather was very important. He died unexpectedly when I was in grade 10. And but he's a big influence in my life, you know, and had a great childhood growing up. So that was definitely important, you know, with my family and all that. But yeah, it's a weird mix for me because my family is middle class. They're not terribly entrepreneurial. And then I have this really crazy streak and people ask, well, where did you get it from? And I think I got it from, you know, Napoleon Hill and other ones from reading it. That exposed me. I'm from a small fishing community when I was a kid in Canada, on the east coast of Canada. So I would have never been exposed to some of these ideas had I not picked up books like Think and Grow Rich and put some things into practice in my life.
Nope, I couldn't agree more. I'm the same way. I was going to say, have you had a chance to read his follow-up book that just recently came out, The Devil? Wow, why am I forgetting this? Outwitting the Devil.
Yeah, that's right. I have read that one. And it's a different one. His family was afraid to release it, so it was released years after he died. And I think Sharon Lecter brought it out, release it. And there's some things that were considered way too out there back in the 1930s or whenever he wrote it. So I think, you know, my thought with it was the devil was sort of that negative voice in your head. I don't know if he meant the, you know, there's a guy with a pitchfork and a, you know, funny tail and stuff hiding away waiting to get you. I think it was more the negative thinking or stinking thinking. But, yeah, definitely an interesting book.
Yeah, definitely. Give us kick-ass tip number four, Mark.
Number four is, I already touched on this one too. It's be consistent. You know, it isn't really sexy, but it works. So I think that the best people out there are consistent. They're doing the same thing. They found out what works and then they keep plugging away with it, you know, and that's a lot like me, you know, putting out the podcast and doing some things I do with coaching. Isn't always the most exciting thing in the world, but it's things that have to be done, you know, for the show to go on. And it's been a part of the success that I've had. So definitely have to be consistent.
Yeah, it's true. And that's what it comes back to when we were talking about earlier about the why. You know, when you guys know what your why is, you know, it's like Mark and I are saying, it's not easy. I mean, there's times where I sit there and go, what the hell am I doing? You know, I've got a great day job. I can just do that and kick back and drink beer. But when you have your why, then you just keep going through that, and you think about the, you know, what doesn't kill me only makes me stronger. What am I supposed to learn from this? And be consistent. I mean, like I said, I've been doing this kick-ass thing for a while. I was a suit and tie speaker, you know, I could easily go back to that, but you just got to keep going for it. I keep a graphic in front of me, and it shows this guy chipping away at the coal, and he's about to get to the diamonds, and this other guy right below him is turning around, and it's like, don't turn around on yourself because, you know, you just got to stick with it.
3 feet
adjustments,
from gold, yeah.
Yeah, get the right people in your corner, and you'll hit pay dirt. Give us the final tip, Mr. Mark.
Yeah, final one is give back to others. You know, I've had I had Bob Berg on the show. I'm not sure if you've had Bob on or if you've read The Go Givers, his book that he's best known for, but he's written some great ones. And Bob said something really neat. He said money is an echo of value. So his argument was you put enough value out into the universe and you'll get it back one way or another. So that's something that I've really put into practice with my business is I've just tried to give as much value as I can to my target client, which is coaches and specifically newer coaches. And even if it's someone that isn't working with me at that time, well, maybe they connect me with a great guest for the podcast, or, you know, maybe down the road they end up hiring me, or just something cool happened there that wouldn't have happened had I not given the value first. So I'm a big fan of that. Like, there's no sense just staying restricted in your own little part of the world and not giving back. If you give back, it's going to actually help you as well.
It does. It does. And it's like I mentor at-risk kids, and it's so amazing because, I mean, I've helped so many people, like, oh, you know, I got to meet the right people. It's like, go volunteer, go do what you love to do, and you're going to meet some cool people that are going to be like, hey, you're pretty cool for volunteering, so I'm going to help you out. It's the greatest gift to me. It really is. I love going and helping people that don't have much and giving myself, and it's just amazing what it gives back to you and what perspective it gives to you about gratitude. I mean, it's amazing. So I love that tip, Mark. And I've had a couple of people message me on Facebook. They want to know more about your program, your 6-week intensive program. So talk to us about Seizure Niche program.
Yeah, it's a combination group coaching and one-on-one. So it's capped at a small number. There's 5 people per group. New one just opened up. We had our second group call tonight, so it's almost halfway through. And new one starts again in July. So seizureniche.com has more details, but it's essentially 6 weeks where it's not just choosing your niche, it's really the whole building of a coaching business. So it takes you through how do you build your business, set it up, how do you get that, choose your 3 Ps, your programs, products, and your pricing, which, of course, as we talked about, it's very important to get those right. And how do you get your name out there? How do you get exposure? How do you get clients, which is important? That's what was it Zig Ziglar was talking about, money. He says it's, I think it was Zig Ziglar said that essentially it's not as important as air, but pretty close to it, or close second, basically, to oxygen. So, yeah, it goes through all that through the 6 weeks. But the cool thing about it is the people who are in it are actually building their business and getting clients while they're in that 6 weeks. So it's not like I'm asking everyone to sit back and wait till we're done the 6 weeks and then, okay, see you later, have a nice life, go, you know, do your business. We're actually doing business building things, and I'm walking them through holding their hand as we're going through the program. Which I think is important as well. You know, I'm a big fan just getting out there. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to thrash around, but you get out there, talk to people, and get the activity going, and you're going to be better off going that way.
It's so true, so true. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. It's amazing how fast the hour goes by. And your website is naturalborncoaches.com, right?
That's right, yep.
So for you guys
no,
out there listening.
I appreciate it, Chris. Yeah.
Oh, no problem. I'm glad to have you on here. And if you guys out there listening, you know, and you're thinking about you want to go out and help people, I know I'm friends with a lot of people who are interested in it. Connect with Mark. He's the real deal. I mean, again, I don't have people on my radio show that I don't admire, respect, and trust. So go check him out, naturalborncoaches.com. I'm going to pull one on you, Mark, at the end of your coach, your podcast, which I've listened to quite a few of them. You ask your guests, you know, what tools they're using, what books they're reading. So tell us what tools you use besides the mind mapping that might be of interest to my guests.
Well, I couldn't live without my online scheduler. And I know that's probably not an exciting answer. A lot of people are familiar with them, but I just find it so easy just to set appointments. And as we talked about this conversation, I think that's your success is a direct correlation to how many people you're getting face-to-face with, or at least virtually. And I think to have coaching success, you have to set up as many of those calls as possible. So online scheduler is huge. You mentioned books. I mentioned one quickly that your people should check out, which I love, and it's not really well known here in the Western world, but it's called Thick Face, Black Heart by Chin Ning Chu. So it's kind of Think and Grow Rich meets The Art of War and a couple other books mixed in there. So it's a really cool book that they probably want to check out.
Awesome, awesome. And for you guys out there listening, driving, and you're listening on your mobile device, again, this is going to be available. Just go to the kickassradioshow.com. You can check it out there. Of course, you can go to ChristopherRausch.com, R-A-U-S-C-H, and you can check it out on the radio show tab. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on the Kickass Radio Show. For you guys out there listening, and you have a show idea that you want, or you have a guest that you feel should be on the Kickass Radio Show, send us an email, info@thekickassradioshow.com. Let us know what you think of this episode and how we can help you more. We're here every single week, and we're doing this. So really take what Mark and I have talked about tonight and go take action on your life. Go live your life. Don't sit by the sidelines thinking about someday, maybe, and all that other stuff. Just go out there and live your kick-ass life, because that's what this is about. You don't know how much more time you have, so I really encourage that. Mark, have an awesome night. Thank you for staying up so late. And for all my listeners, all my longtime listeners, thank you so much. You guys rock. I love you. Go out there and kick ass and take names.